Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. Wait until you hear this. Victorian philosopher William James had a theory about emotion and behavior. It isn't that our feelings guide our action, you know, as in feel happy and you will laugh. On the contrary, he said, it is our actions that guide our emotions. Laugh and you'll feel happy. This led William James to a remarkable conclusion. He said, if you want a quality, act as if you already have it. Well, just completely energized by James's discoveries, fascinating discovery, our guest, renowned psychologist and best-selling author Richard Wiseman, confirms James's principle, and he shows us how this self-help genre that we see so much of has for too long put the cart before the horse in trying to help us take control of our lives. So he is, in this book, bringing to the table a kind of dazzling array of firsthand experiments, surprising histories, psychological case studies, and he illustrates in great detail how we can apply all of this research, this principle of his, to our daily lives. The book is called The As-If Principle. This is a radical new approach to changing your life for the better. Richard Wiseman holds Britain's only professorship in the public understanding of psychology. He is the author of 4 best-selling books. He lives in the UK, and in fact, we are Skyping him in Scotland. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
So please explain. By the way, let me just say that I did this. And it worked. I thought, well, let me just see. It was a challenge to me. And it worked for me in many ways, and I was quite surprised. So can you please explain what the as-if principle is?
Well, in very simple terms, the as-if principle is the notion that if you behave as if you're a certain type of person, you become that person. And so the classic example, and the one which really kick-started the research in the 1960s, was this notion that when you feel happy, obviously you smile. And the question was, well, is the opposite true? If you force your face into a smile, does it make you feel happy? And that was building, as you said, on William James's idea that maybe action comes before thinking, or at least can come before thinking. And so the researchers went out and they got hundreds of people and they got them to force their faces into a smile. And lo and behold, it kicked off genuine feelings of happiness. So for some bizarre reason, and we don't know why it's there, there is a kind of bizarre feedback loop from our bodies to our brains that our behavior directly influences how we think and feel. And that opens up the pathway to a whole new genre of self-help, that rather than focusing on changing how you think, which is actually very difficult, you can focus more on how you behave, which is fairly straightforward. And James, all those years ago, knew that, and he referred to that idea as bottled lightning. That's how sort of dramatic and important he thought the idea was. And in a nutshell, that's the as-if principle.
How does this work with the brain, do you think? I, for instance, just tried a Feldenkrais session, and this is a just kind of minor body manipulation where they're just pushing your muscles a little bit, moving. You can hardly feel what they're doing. When I was done and stood up, I thought, I feel euphoric. And I thought, something here has just signaled my brain to have a different experience. So how does the brain work with what you're describing, this as-if principle?
Well, it's a very good question. I don't think we know the answer for certain. It gets you into quite deep philosophical territory quite quickly. And probably the best explanation for it, and the one that I talk about towards the end of the book, mm-hmm. is the notion that to some extent, we're almost kind of observing ourselves and on the basis of our behavior, deciding how we feel. So if you look at somebody else across the room, you have obviously no idea how they actually feel. You have no access to their innermost thoughts and feelings. And so you have to base it on their behavior. And so if they're smiling, you assume they're happy. And the argument is, that, and this is an argument that's been building up in philosophy and psychology for many years, is that to some extent we're doing the same with ourselves, that we are looking at our behavior and the brain is then constructing a sense of self based on that. And so if you behave like a confident person, you feel feel more confident. If you behave as if you're in a bad mood, you get grouchier. And so it seems to be that the brain has got this observation system built in. Now, we have no idea how that works in terms of the neuroscience of it. It's just too far away. It's too early days to decide that. But that seems to be the process.
So this business about smiling to, you know, arrange your musculature to signal your brain, which then in turn changes actual mood. This is what the as-if principle is, as you're describing it. So describe the physical smile that you would want a person to assume to signal the brain and change the mood.
Well, the early experiments on it were literally involved going up to people and saying, would you mind smiling? And then they rated whether they felt happier or not. And lo and behold, they did. The problem with doing that is that you use the word smile. And of course, that could just trigger them to feel happier. So in the later experiments, it was all to do with a pencil. And this gets down to sort of answering your question. What they asked people to do was either hold a pencil between their lips, just supporting it with their lips, in which case it forces the face into a frown, or to support it just with the teeth, which forces the face into a smile. And those supporting it with the teeth felt much happier. And when you showed them something funny, like a cartoon, they found it much funnier, and so on. So it really isn't very complicated when it comes to smiling. You just have to force your face into a smile. So you pull up the sides of the mouth towards the ears, and you want to maintain that for around about sort of 10-15 seconds. And for most people, and your listeners can do it now, for most people, you will actually feel yourself becoming more cheerful. It is the weirdest thing. It's the quickest thing. And other happiness exercises take a very long time, but this is something which will happen, and the brain kicks off some process that we don't understand, and you feel more cheerful. And what's very interesting is that then kicks off a whole load of thoughts and behaviors which kind of build on one another. If you're smiling, other people want to be around you. So you start to make more connections socially. And we know that spending time with friends and family is one of the biggest kind of underpinnings of happiness. So it's just these small changes act like a catalyst that kicks off something much bigger.
I tried this last night as I was finishing your book. And I thought, let me do this. And I wasn't feeling particularly happy. I was stressed. I had a ton of work. It was starting to get late. And so I really did this with this smile thing. And I was so stunned at the end because I thought I did it for, you know, 20, 30 seconds. It felt ridiculous. And I'll be done. When I was done, I thought, okay, now do I feel happier? I completely felt happier. And I felt more energetic. I suddenly was walking around doing this, putting this away, thinking about things I wanted to do tomorrow that would be fun and interesting. And I thought, you know, this works. And so I started trying some of the other things too in the book. It is fascinating. It actually must signal the brain.
Absolutely does. And as you say, what you started to do then was kick in other aspects of the as-if principle because you start to do things. And so the book is arguing away from positive thinking and towards what I'm calling positive action, which is simply get up and do something that kickstarts a bigger procedure. It does have a very, very big impact. And there are, you know, it amazes me that, you know, schools, for example, we don't start every single lesson with just 20 seconds of smiling to put the kids in a better mood. Or adults, you know, before you answer the phone, just smile for 5 or 6 seconds and then pick up the receiver or take the call, because it makes a huge difference to the energy in the voice. And that's what really fascinates me, both in this book and my previous one, are the very small changes we can make that make a very big impact on our lives. You know, there's a lot of people trying to make a living by telling you that change is really difficult, it's really time consuming, it requires an entire set of DVDs or a long course or whatever it is. I really don't think that's the case. It could be much quicker and much more effective than you imagine.
This is Dr. Richard Wiseman. He holds Britain's only professorship in the public understanding of psychology. He has sifted through many decades of scientific research to explain the art of well-being in his new book, The As-If Principle. We're Skyping him in Edinburgh, Scotland. And shortly we're going to tell you how to have this book sent to your door. What about this idea of willpower? People are constantly going on diets. They're attracted to things that aren't so great for them, or this idea that you can steer yourself toward things that are great for you. How does this as if principle apply?
Well, most of the literature on dieting shows that most diets, in fact, I'd say most the literature on trying to change your mind on anything, it works for a very short period of time. But trying to keep up a sense of willpower literally uses up energy in the brain, and it's very tiring. And so most people drift back to old habits fairly quickly. There are various ways in the book in which the as if principle can help with dieting. But to give you two sort of straight off the top of my head that people can use, one is that when you see, I don't know, you walk past a window of a cake shop and you see that sort of beautiful cream cake and you think, my goodness, shall I go in and take that look so tempting, is simply to behave as if you've got willpower to screw up your hands into a fist and kind of squeeze hard, because that's the sort of thing we do when we're trying hard. And lo and behold, you find those kind of feelings of wanting to go in and consume the cream cake and the ten around it all kind of drop away. So that's one very quick technique that enhances healthy eating by around about a third. Another is simply to eat your food with your non-dominant hand, because that makes you more mindful about what it is you're eating, but also because it's not such a smooth action, you get that impression that you really aren't quite so keen on what you're eating, because that's how you behave when you're eating something you don't like. And so that kicks off a process in the brain, and again, people end up eating far less. So two very, very simple procedures there that have a big impact.
This is based on science, and so we know certain things, but the question is why. We know the brain, for instance, if you have a frozen shoulder, will often freeze the other one because the brain says, oh, is that what we're doing now? And we'll switch over. It reads one cue on one side and then matches it. The brain does other things like this. You know, a loosening of one shoulder through massage or Feldenkrais, Alexander technique, and the brain will very quickly start to loosen up the other shoulder to match. So brain is very fascinating and smart about cues. And that's what this book is about. We've got Dr. Richard Wiseman, a psychologist who has gone through all of this research and realized that a lot of the self-help talk about, you know, endless exercises and emotions and all, that there are physical cues, things you can do to trigger the brain to be smarter, and you can harness these things to improve your life. It's quite smart, quite interesting, easy to read. I tried these things, and it was really quite effective. We'll talk on the other side of this break about how Dr. Wiseman is not suggesting that people walk around like a bunch of smiling robots in an inauthentic way, that these are just quick little exercises for 20 seconds that actually can change mood and behavior. So, Dr. Wiseman, if you will stay right where you are, we're going to talk with you now as a listener about how to have this fascinating book sent to your door. It is called The As If Principle. And if you would like to become an active listener of the show, and here's a prompt, it really does make you feel better about what you listen to when you are a supporting member of the station, because you say to yourself, I have helped make that happen. 1-800-584-2788 at the $60 contribution level. It's our thank you gift to you. Jack Callahan.
Hi, Faith. Let me say again that number, 1-800-584-2788, because that's the lifeline to WNPR right now. We're looking for your help to keep the Faith Middleton Show right here on WNPR where it belongs. Faith, you mentioned just a moment ago that once in a while a gem like Richard Wiseman comes along, the real thing. That's no accident. It's Faith and her production team working to find these people, to find the right person to have on the program, to find the right person to engage in a conversation with you. They accomplish this on a shoestring budget, but it does have a price tag, no matter how frugal Faith and her team are. That's where you come in. Your $5 a month contribution, that will support about 20 Faith Middleton shows. When you become a monthly donor here, $5 a month on an ongoing basis, and we'd love to sign you up to receive a copy of this book as our way of saying thank you. So when you make that call, say, I want to become a monthly donor of WNPR at $5 a month, or you can make a one-time contribution at $60. We don't care. We do ask that you participate. One more time, that number is 1-800-584-2788. You can also go online at wnpr.org/donate, and you can see this book there and make a request online. You can also see the other books throughout this fundraising campaign. It's all there. Take my word for it, 1-800-584-2788, or go online at wnpr.org to make your contribution.
Again, we are not talking about, for instance, I'm in the section describing all the research brain scans on what happens in the brain when we have elevated mood, what we call happy, you know, what happens and what triggers the brain to respond. So laughing does, of course, improves mood for obvious reasons, but actually the facial muscles, doing certain things with the facial muscles can actually elevate the mood. And so that idea of the as-if principle, doing things to trigger this, we're going to go on. There are many, many more exercises and ideas in this very intelligent and useful book. A body talk, positive self-talk, all of that stuff, you know, hilarious on Saturday Night Live. But it turns out that brain scanning and brain research shows this stuff to be true. So as Joan Baez said, action is the best antidote to despair. I think that's what this book is between two covers. 1-800-584-2788 at the $60 level, a one-time contribution, or $5 a month if you want to underwrite what turns out to be a year of programming here on the Faith Middleton Show. Thank you so much for listening. Now back to our conversation with Richard Wiseman. I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you listening. It is a great conversation, I think. Dr. Richard Wiseman holds Britain's only professorship in the public understanding of psychology. He has sifted through many decades of scientific research to explain the art of well-being. That's what I call it. Really, that's what he's getting at. And in this case, the as-if principle, it's the book we're featuring, is about how behavior is what changes emotion, not necessarily the other way around, where you work at the emotions to change behavior. You can actually cue the brain to change mood and action through a choice that you make. So we're Skyping him in Edinburgh, Scotland. Dr. Wiseman, what about this idea of what you can do to cue the body and mood to have more spring in your step?
This is based on quite a large body of research, which just looks at the effect of movement on the brain. And already there's a whole psychology, I mean, a fairly new one over the last few years, really, looking at the effect of dance. And that when it's impossible to dance and not feel happy if you're moving in a kind of upbeat way. So again, it's the as-if principle. If you are feeling a bit down, then actually putting on some music and dancing away isn't a bad idea at all. And the same goes for our everyday movements. This is research carried out by psychologists where they looked at the way in which people walked. And when we're feeling a bit down, a little bit depressed, we slow down our walk and we're more slovenly and our arms don't swing quite so much and our shoulders droop. Well, if you take those people and get them to just suddenly walk in a more energetic, upbeat way, suddenly they feel far happier about themselves and the world. And again, that kicks off a completely new way of thinking. So yes, even the way you walk is amenable to the as-if principle.
So this begins to be interesting for people who are aging and getting to a point where they're moving less, and sometimes that is necessary. But any way that you can find to actually move, to change mood, starts to be quite valuable.
Absolutely. And in fact, there's another part of the book which deals explicitly about aging and talks about a very famous series of experiments carried out at Harvard University, where they took two groups of people, both in the sort of 70s and 80s, away to a retreat. And one was a normal kind of retreat, and the other one, they turned back the hands of time. They said to these more mature folks, when you go into the retreat, it's going to be exactly as it was when you were young people in your 20s and 30s. They replicated the music, the sorts of images, the posters that would have been around, the television, and so on. And lo and behold, when you got people to behave as if they're a little bit younger, living in the past, as it were, their reaction time suddenly improved. Their vision improved. They became far more sociable. So I think we all have the potential to slow down aging. What happens is that we have beliefs that old people should behave in a certain way, and that kicks off that pattern of thinking. So getting to see people to behave as if they're a little bit younger and take responsibility for some aspects of their lives actually does improve people an enormous amount.
So we have talked so far about moving the face, the facial muscles, to actually smile, and that the data shows over time, all the way back to James, that people actually become measurably happier. Because I think there's some signaling in the brain, and I was trying this, and you do it for about 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and it changes mood. You talked about clenching your fist to increase willpower because it signals the body we mean it, we mean business. We've talked about putting a spring in your step, feeling younger by moving the body in an energetic way. So even if you don't feel the slightest bit energetic, do it on purpose, you're saying. It does actually, you do become it. It's as if you are that person. So how do we not look like a bunch of inauthentic idiots doing these things?
Well, I think the book doesn't argue for people to walk around like rather strange robots, forcing themselves to behave in a certain way. These are quick interventions. I mean, yes, you're not supposed to keep the smile on your face for 2 days. So yeah, it's about quick interventions. I think if you change the way you walk, you won't look strange. You'll just look like you're an energetic person. And also, it's important not to overdo these things. This isn't an audition for clown school. It's simply a way of just changing, for example, how you walk along the street. And if anyone looks at the way you're walking and think, well, my goodness, that's someone to avoid, you're probably not doing it correctly. So, yeah, it encourages you to make changes, but hopefully they're not too radical and artificial.
Think New York City. What I'm getting at here is I remember that hilarious series of bits that they did on Saturday Night Live where that guy was doing these affirmations in the mirror. I mean, it was the funniest thing ever. And yet, there is some bit of truth to it.
With affirmations, there is. I mean, it does depend a little bit on your self-esteem, because if you're a low self-esteem person and you see yourself saying good things about yourself, you actually don't believe them. So it's the as-if principle at work there. It only works if you do actually start off by feeling fairly good. So the affirmations, yes, to some extent make a difference. Saying them in front of a mirror is a good idea. But of course, you're doing that privately. You're not doing it publicly. So you've got license to make a fool of yourself, and it's not going to matter too much. So yes, there is something to affirmations, and I talk about that a little bit in the book. But my main sort of, I guess, goal here is to get people thinking about how they're behaving in everyday life, you know, how they're sitting, where they are, just smiling at others or just looking thoroughly miserable. Because as I said before, you know, there's a lot of research on happiness showing that happy people spend time around friends and family. And of course, you know, people won't want to do that if you're sitting there looking miserable. So I think these changes can act as a real catalyst.
You have some exercises in the book where you read a particular script to get a different sense of yourself, even when you are feeling kind of down. I was doing this last night just to see what would happen, and I was fascinated by the number of people, when you looked at these research studies, who reported that their sense of themselves had, in fact, changed from reading these words.
You see, the words that we choose to use, again, have a big impact on our thinking. It isn't just that we produce words, it's that the words themselves kind of feed back and affect the brain. So if you're using positive words and you're describing a positive scenario, you end up feeling good. If you're describing negative words and talking about a terrible event, then you end up feeling bad. It's one of the problems that newsreaders have, that because they're constantly describing negative events, often at the end of the day, they feel absolutely terrible, even though the events haven't happened to them. And so it is important that you do focus on the good things and tell people about the good things in your life, not only for their benefit, as it were, but yours as well. So I'm not arguing here that we kind of blank out the bad things, we never ever discuss them and never deal with them. But I just think, and it's particularly true of people who feel slightly down, it's very easy for them to focus on what's not going so well and to talk about that at length, and very easy not to, to think, oh, hold on a second, though, there are wonderful things in my life, and that talking about them has a real impact on the brain.
We're talking with Dr. Richard Wiseman, who holds Britain's only professorship in the public understanding of psychology, and he has sifted through so many decades of scientific research to explain the art of well-being in his new book, The As-If Principle, how the cues we give ourselves, whether through words, reading privately to ourselves, conversation, and actual physical action, send signals to the brain. And so assuming the as-if actually does change emotion. It does change mood. And so it is quite the opposite of so many self-help books that are out there. Dr. Wiseman is known for finding, putting his finger on fascinating data, putting it together and saying, well, here's something we haven't paid attention to. Isn't this a lot faster? About how to think differently, to make changes in terms of esteem, weight loss, accomplishing tasks at work. What about this physical movements that convey confidence, not only to other people, but to yourself?
Well, again, this is based on the wonderful as-if principle, that if you ask people to deliver a speech and beforehand you get them to stand up straight and open up their arms, the speech is delivered in a much more confident way, and they then feel far more confident because of it. In the workplace, it can make a real difference if you have people interview others either with their open body posture or a much more closed one where they're crossing their arms and slumping in the chair. Then again, you get a completely different response from both the interviewers and interviewees. In terms of problem solving, if you want to sort of persevere with a problem and you're finding it tricky, crossing your arms, acting as if you're a stubborn person that's going to solve this problem, means that you persevere about twice as long. So the book talks about all of these very simple sort of bodily movements, which have a big impact on people's thinking.
To get to the bodily movements again, when you were talking about moving something, an object that is not necessarily a great idea, moving it away from you physically, you know, shoving it away or bringing it toward you actually signals the brain to do what?
To either like or dislike the object. And so what you have to think is, well, how do we behave when we don't like something? If I put some food down in front of you and you absolutely hated it, it's the worst thing ever, it smells terrible, you'll push it away. If I put down something you love, you'll pull it towards you. And you can use that to condition yourself to either like or dislike something you want or don't want to eat. So again, it can help with the dieting. In the same way, and these experiments have been carried out in the more kind of marketing arena, if you get people to nod their heads as they're looking at a product, and this was done famously with putting headphones on people and saying, getting them to nod the head to allegedly test the headphones, they end up liking the product more. If you get them to shake their head from side to side, they end up liking it less. So again, more examples of how the bodily movement impacts on people's thinking.
After this short break, we're going to talk about relationships, friendship, romantic relationships, and how certain cues can enhance, can reinvigorate a relationship, even to make it more romantic, to restore that sense in a relationship. There are actual things, physical cues, things to do that signal the brain, oh, we really are in love. It's really quite something. You've been with someone for 20, 30, 40 years. It can be restored. So please stay where you are, Dr. Wiseman. We'll be right back with you. We wanted to let you know that we would be delighted to send the As-If Principle to your door. It's actually quite smart. So 1-800-584-2788 for a $60 contribution one time or $5 a month. You could bring your charge card to the phone. And the toll-free number is 1-800-584-2788. This is our thank you gift.
I've said it before, but it bears repeating. Real workable solutions here and is also available to you to have. More than 250 pages, the As If Principle. It's a good read. It's a fine read. I don't want to say it's an easy read because that sounds like it's oversimplifying, but it's a fine read. And what a great guide to have here. But that's a hallmark of WNPR. It's a hallmark of the Faith Middleton Show. We now like to talk about WNPR as where you turn for news and ideas. The Faith Middleton Show is the epicenter of ideas and discussion. Fine conversation.
Thanks,
sometimes, Jim. Sometimes those conversations put us on edge a little bit, but those are the ones perhaps that we really need to hear. In this case, though, it's a really uplifting and positive way to say, yes, you can take charge and you can move forward with this. It's one of the ways that we can say thank you by sending you the As If Principle book. When you become a monthly donor here at WNPR at the $5 a month level, let me explain just a little bit about what that's like. You sign up and say, I'm an ongoing monthly donor, $5 a month on an ongoing basis. I don't have to worry about my membership lapsing or when did I make my last gift. Now, of course, you're always in charge of that, and you can call us up immediately to make a change in your plan so you're not losing control of your finances. But it is a way to make your relationship permanent. What a wonderful statement for the Faith Middleton Show. And of course, you can also make a one-time gift of $60. We certainly will take that too. Either way, we ask that you help us out, though. Call 1-800-584-2788. Let me say that again. Faith, I'm often accused of saying it too quickly when I get excited like this.
Me too, I do.
1-800-584-2788 or go online at WNPR.org.
What Dr. Richard Wiseman has done is harness the latest research from all around the world. This is what his specialty is. This is what he studies and helps advance in terms of research. The effect of our behaviors, our conversation, our body language, the effect of all these things on positive outcomes in our lives. And so the As If Principle is all about that. For instance, he's quoting Dr. Elaine Hatfield, University of Hawaii, and her multiple studies of people reading paragraphs about positive things that have happened or sad things that have happened, and the reaction in the brain, the feeling in the body, you know, hard science about this. And it turns out to have an enormous effect as a mood lifter in people, for real, not just nonsense happy talk. We're not saying in any way, I would never say something like this, that we want people to walk around like crazy happy talk people. It's not about that, because this is an unpredictable world, a complex world that requires our adjustment constantly. Kids are so good at this, at doing a better job hanging on to that so that we stay resilient. That's why I find this book so useful. And here we are, ready to send the As If Principle to your door. Richard Wiseman, one of the great minds in Britain, many bestsellers to his credit. He's a research psychologist, holds the only professorship in the public understanding of psychology in the United Kingdom. And he has put together a book that is so smart. Dr. Richard Wiseman, author of The As If Principle, sending it as our thank you gift to you. This has a permanent place on my shelf at home. And every once in a while, I pick it up and remind myself. 1-800-584-2788 for a $60 gift to the station. It's yours.
We're going back to more conversation in just a moment, but I can't stress enough, as the one who heads up the membership program here at WNPR, how vital your support is to keep these conversations alive, to keep exploring the richness of life, helping you take control, making the most, and be inspired to go out. That's what we're trying to do. That's what Faith and her team does each and every day. Your help at 1-800-584-2788 is key right now. Thank you so much.
I'm Faith Middleton. I also want to thank our talented team. Producer Jonathan McNichol, senior producer Lori Mack. They work so hard to put this show on the air every day. I appreciate it so, so much. I also appreciate my guest, Dr. Richard Wiseman, who, as I have mentioned, just in case you're joining the show, he holds Britain's only professorship in the public understanding of psychology. He has sifted through so many decades of scientific research. This is what he does to create his books. It's why they are so popular. popular, to explain the art of well-being. In this case, the book is The As-If Principle. This is about how action, physical or mental, actually changes emotion. Not the other way around, as so many people would have you believe. This is a lot faster and very interesting. And we are talking about how actually putting the face in the muscular activity of a smile does in fact lift the mood if you do it for 20 or 30 seconds privately. How clenching the fist does increase your willpower if there is something you are trying to accomplish. It says to the brain, we mean business about this, that walking with energy or moving the best way you can with a sense of energy can actually affect the feeling of well-being and give you that energy, despite that you may feel lazy and horrible. These are cues to the brain to change your emotional state. So, Dr. Wiseman, what about love? What about relationships, the sense of romance?
Well, some of my favorite studies with the As-If Principle concern love and relationships. This is the area where I've conducted, I guess, most of the research myself, because we've carried out lots of experimental speed dating sessions. And the problem with speed dating is that people are talking about themselves over and over again. It gets fairly boring fairly quickly. So what we did was to inject the As-If Principle in there, and we had the couples, the randomly allocated strangers, behave as if they found each other attractive. So they'd make little gifts one another, or they'd share secrets, they'd talk about their wildest dreams or whatever. And what we found was that really promoted attraction. The problem we had was stopping people doing those tasks. And also they really wanted to meet up with one another again. So our success rate there was far higher than a normal speed dating session. So it can help, I think, people in that stage of an early relationship.
So what if people are in a marriage, you know, or a couple and have been together for some time and would like to rekindle that sense of romance or those feelings of in love? How would you cue the brain?
Well, again, they have to behave as if they find each other exceptionally attractive, to turn back the hands of time and think, well, okay, how did we behave when that was the case? You know, how much did we look into each other's eyes and hold each other's hands and do exciting new things together, and then recreate those conditions? And it sounds kind of crazy because we're so brainwashed into thinking that love has to come first, that it's this weird feeling that we don't fully understand. That has to come first, and then that will drive the behavior. Remember, the As-If Principle, exactly the opposite way around. And so in the book, I talk about these exercises that people can do where they can sit down and say, okay, let's do something new and exciting, you know, once a week, or let's do these particular exercises where we behave like we used to. And what people have found when they've done that is that actually produces the feeling of love. So even something with the world's most sort of elusive emotion can be created with the As-If Principle. Mm-hmm. And I should say, it also helps people trying to get over relationships. A set of experiments where they had people who were trying to get over a relationship, and one of them wrote down about the relationship, put it into an envelope, and then set fire to the envelope. Those people got over it much quicker because they're behaving as if it's all in the past.
I love that. It was just amazing to read about that. So let's say, I'm going to throw out a few ideas. Let's say that someone wants to be more creative. What would be an as-if technique to actually loosen up your mind so that ideas start coming?
Well, with creativity, again, it's important to behave as if you're a creative person. So actually laying down on the couch helps you be a little bit more creative. Going for a walk, and particularly a random walk where you're just really not quite certain where you're going. You're not just walking straight in a square around the block. There's some studies where they carried out what are called divergent thinking tasks, which is a measure of creativity, and then had some of the people just walk in a square and others walking a random shape, and those walking randomly turned out to be far more creative. So again, it's behaving as if you're a creative person.
I think about young people who've been given a message or in an environment where people act as if that young person, this can happen to grown-ups too, but that young person is not smart. And then I think, well, what happens if that child is coached to think of himself or herself as smart? How would the As-If Principle work there?
Well, there's some quite famous studies, again, around the 1960s, where they simply looked at how smart people dressed, as it were. And one of the things you can do is actually just wear glasses. If you put glasses on, people think that you're smarter. And so they took these kids and they gave them glasses, but with no lenses in. They just and so the kids suddenly felt smarter and were more confident in class, which is quite a nice idea. I think the important thing is that you're not probably going to boost IQ, as it were, with the as if principle, because that's kind of stamped into the brain in many ways. However, what you can do very easily is boost self-esteem and confidence. And we know that's even more important in life than IQ in terms of getting and maintaining a job and relationship. And I think that's where the attention should be with younger people. And I'm amazed that, you know, the as if principle, as I said before, hasn't got into our educational system. You know, we teach our children many things, but we don't tell them to start the day by smiling and walking in a kind of positive way. And yet all the research shows that would have the greatest effect.
There was a school in New Haven where they coached the children to walk up to adults that they see who've come to the school and to extend a hand. I had this happen to me. Extend a hand, shake hands, eye contact. And I thought, this is training these kids to be more generous and open to the world, to get a sense of what it is to be professional and welcoming.
I think it's a great idea. I think those lessons that, you know, we just assume children will learn over time, actually it's the real shortcut to kind of go, this is how you behave in order to make other people think you're great. And more importantly, it will have an impact on you, how you feel as well. So we teach our kids many things, quite rightly so, but those kind of life lessons skills, I think, are absolutely important.
Change is hard for people, and differences are challenging. So it's not so simple as we're all the same, you know, despite our color skin, despite our gay and straight, but it's not so simple. People are just naturally looking with some wariness, or you're a little bit different. What do I think about that? So how do you generate a sense of openness toward others who might be different from you using the as-if principle?
Well, I think that the key thing here, as ever, is to behave as if you really think that is the case. And so, you know, if you are warm and welcoming, and as you said before, shake the hand and ask them about them instead of talking about yourself, you are behaving as if you're interested in them and that they are people that you think are worthy of your attention and goodwill. And the important thing to remember is that will then influence how you genuinely feel. So if you get people to behave like that, then that will influence how they actually feel. So getting people to work together on tasks, you know, in small groups means that under certain circumstances, they then start to pull together because that's their group and it influences how they feel about the other group members. So the key thing here is that behavior drives thoughts and emotion.
Which brings us to shy people. Introverts who have, you know, a challenge because they're less confident about making contact, and yet they need it and want it as much as anybody, maybe more. You do talk about the introvert in this book in a very interesting way.
It is tricky because, again, part of that is genetic, a part of our personality is genetic, and it is a world that's created to some extent for extroverts. But I think with introverts, anyone can change to some extent, and it's much easier for people to change their behavior than change their thinking. And so if they do feel sort of very anxious in social situations, just forcing themselves to do a few sort of baby steps, which is about openness again and friendliness and so on, actually changes how they feel about the world. And then this is the important thing here, is that there are so many other self-help processes out there which are long and time consuming and involve visualization and so on, and the evidence is that most of those don't work. Change doesn't have to be challenging for people. You just have to know what to do.
I wonder if it is possible to use this technique, not exclusively, but to use this technique if you're someone with a drinking problem.
Well, the two hardest problems in the self-help movement are smoking and drinking because they have a chemical addiction element to it. Okay. Some of the tips I talk about in terms of dieting will also make a difference in terms of drinking. Some of the tips in terms of smoking, there's again a well-known study from the 1970s where they took smokers and behaved as if they had lung cancer and gave them x-rays and said that this is you and unfortunately, you know, you're not going to survive any more than 6 months and so on. And because they were behaving as if they would like that, they suddenly realized the full horror of what it was they were doing to their bodies and actually gave up smoking at a much higher rate than others. So I think when you have very difficult problems to crack like that, there are ways of using the as-if principle quite effectively.
It has to be smart, though, doesn't it? Remember that ad, "This is your brain on drugs," and I think they were scrambling eggs in a pan. I mean, no one took it seriously.
Well, the problem with telling people how dangerous these things are is that it has very little effect on them at all. We're all very good at the sorts of mental gymnastics where we say, well, that's other people, it's not us. What seems to make a difference is when you get the person to role play, as I was saying before, role play having cancer and realizing the impact that it will have on yourself and those around you, then suddenly you see big changes. Mm-hmm. And so programs which are designed around those kind of role playing elements tend to be much more effective. And that's true of therapy as well. Getting people to role play different sort of characterizations, different personalities in their life has a huge and quick impact on change, where people just thinking about it does very little.
Yeah. And what about anxiety?
Well, again, the whole of the phobia treatment movement is based on the as-if principle, which is normally taking people who are very anxious in certain situations and slowly, carefully, step by step, deconstructing that and getting them to be relaxed in those situations. And that's the straight as-if principle at work. And the same with depression. If you get depressed people to behave as if they don't feel quite so bad, suddenly you get big changes. It's what's called behavioral activation. And now the research is showing that's one of the most effective treatments for depression. So all of these different literatures coming from all different areas of science and psychology are pointing in the same direction.
Thank you so much for being on the show with us. We're going to tell listeners right now how to get this book. Dr. Richard Wiseman, who holds Britain's only professorship in the public understanding of psychology, and it is called the As-If Principle, and we've been Skyping him in Edinburgh, Scotland. If you would like us to send this book to you for a contribution, if you want to take action, now is the time to do it, to feel great about what you hear on public radio as an active participant, someone who can say, I am helping to make that happen. Oh, that fascinating moment, that interesting person, that piece of music, whatever it is, I help make that happen. We want to make you an associate producer of everything you hear and experience on public radio. Richard Wiseman, it's yours for $60 contribution, 1-800-584-2788, Jack.
1-800-584-2788, or you can go online at WNPR.org and make your contribution that way. We have a saying here, whether you click or whether you call, it doesn't matter. What does matter, what makes a big difference, is participation. Asking you, as one who's been caught in the act of listening to the Faith Middleton Show, to stand up, support the program that you listen to, the support the program that you rely on. It's so simple to do. We often say, call and make your pledge. We'll ask for your name, your address, method of payment. If you'd like a copy of the book, just let us know, and we'll get your name on the list to receive it as soon as they come in. It's that simple, beginning with the toll-free number, 1-800-584-2788.
There's a chunk of research in this book, The As-If Principle, about Konstantin Stanislavski, the great drama teacher, his method acting, which Marlon Brando, Warren Beatty, Robert De Niro all say they have used. It's the magic if, they call it, in acting. If I were really experiencing this feeling, how would I behave? And we believe these actors so much. Well, your brain does too, it turns out. That's what the brain scans are showing. He's talking in this book also as a research psychologist about the exercises you can do, just as an actor would do, to improve mood, to improve access to your brain in high-pressure situations, to calm down in frustrating situations, to take care of phobias, to deal with procrastination, creativity, a big one. The As-If Principle, it is a radically new approach to change your life in some important way. It's about growth, is the way I like to think about it. We'd be happy to send it to you, as Jack will tell you, at 1-800-584-2788, a $60 gift to the station, and it's our thank you gift back to you. We're in this as a partnership.
Yes, let me tell you a bit more about that partnership and how it fits in. 92 cents of every dollar that WNPR gets to spend, including producing and delivering the Faith Middleton Show to you, comes from the community. Now, yes, we do have underwriters and those companies and businesses who support the program. We have foundations, and we're grateful for that. The largest single source of support comes from listeners just like you who take a moment in an important time just like this to make that call, make that commitment, and say, yes, WNPR is my radio station, and I'm going to help take control of that by making my contribution. I'm going to become an active partner here. And it's so simple to do. Call 1-800-584-2788. This is at the $5 a month level if you choose to become a monthly donor, or $60 as a one-time contribution. But it begins with your call, your action. 1-800-584-2788 is that number to call.
Another reason I love this book, and Dr. Wiseman in particular, is that life speeds by. There are so many times when I catch myself not being in that moment, not living really, just kind of walking through life. It's kind of the way life is. This gets me to focus on the moment at hand and to feel positive more of the time. That is a great thing. 1-800-584-2788 is the number to call to have this book sent to your door. And thank you so much.